Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
It's WrestleMania Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the SmackDown Review Podcast. I'm one of your hosts. I am Sat E. Nyangi, baby. And next to me, here's your former Quizomania champion. Here's your former Jam That Jam champion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Canada's favorite son. He is Tampa.
What an introduction. I won't get a better introduction sitting behind this desk. It's WrestleMania, baby!
Woo!
Woo.
Woo.
And you know what?
Yes, sir.
Bobby Lashley may or may not find his way onto the proper WrestleMania card, but he has more of an argument to do so now that he is the latest Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner. This is the WrestleTalk podcast review of WrestleMania SmackDown. So make sure that you like, subscribe, enable notifications so you don't miss any of the podcast reviews we have coming your way in the coming days. That being for WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2, the Raw after WrestleMania, and live reactions to all three of those shows. But before that happens, we need to get into our review today for WrestleMania SmackDown.
Oh, so I want to say it's Sat E Day and it's Sat E Time. And of course, House of the.
It's April Fool's Day. Haha. I'm not wearing black today.
House of the White Jumpers.
Woo.
Woo.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
So we're going to get into our review of SmackDown here because the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was moved to SmackDown. I say moved. It was never scheduled for WrestleMania, but in years past, it, of course, has been.
Yeah.
Not in the last few years, though. The last few years, it has been a TV special. And this year was no different in that it was mostly a crew of people that probably didn't have much of a shot of winning.
No.
And Bobby Lashley. And there were a few other people who could have made a run for it.
Dark horses.
Yep, dark horses, like an L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bronson Reed was in there. He went to the end. There were a few others that probably didn't have much of a shot, but have some name value, like a Johnny Gargano, etc.
Xavier Woods as well.
Xavier Woods was in it, of course. They like to throw him a bone every once in a while. Of course, Braun Strowman made a surprise appearance, I guess. He wasn't on the call sheet. But I don't really want to go through every step of this Battle Royal because it's largely inconsequential. The most important bits of it were that Baron Corbin was eliminated from this match within seconds of it starting. So he's still a bum and he's keeping his downward spiral going.
Question before we proceed. Oh, it's about Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see Broke Corbin? No, you don't.
I mean, of the iterations of Baron Corbin, the one I have been most entertained by on the main roster anyway, because I liked Lone Wolf Corbin in NXT.
He was good, yes. Thank you, please. R.I.P. to Lone Wolf Corbin, because people say he was never good. Guys, if you watch NXT, you would assume this guy is a future world champion. And when he turned heel, he was like, yeah, he's an unlikable person. He should be a great heel champion. He has never recovered from that Cena push.
Nope. Sure hasn't. And man, since going to the main roster, I've not really connected with Baron Corbin ever. But the one time where I was like, oh, this is interesting, this is fun, he's doing good character work, was when he was broke-ass, bum-ass Baron Corbin. However,
yeah,
I don't think you can go forward while looking back. They need to move on to something different. And I don't want to see him just showing up disheveled with slightly grown hair and a stained shirt and stuff like that. I'd like them to do something new.
What would you do? It's kind of like, okay, to the point with that bad luck Corbin, because I think that the issue with what happened with that storyline was, for me, it concluded at the right time. You never want something to outlive its usefulness, and then you've grown. Oh, remember when that storyline was good? They ended at the right time. The issue was he had a groundswell of fan support because those skits were funny. You actually felt sorry for him for once. He actually had some sympathy, which is something the character has never had before. So in the mind of everyone else, he's turned into a babyface. I mean, they kind of did that to MVP when he had a losing streak, but yep. That didn't make sense because MVP was a baller, and it's kind of like making Mr. Perfect on a losing streak and making him sympathetic. No, with Corbin, it was different because his character wasn't like a baller. Yeah, he lost his WWE money or whatever. His character, we've grown to like that he was hard on his luck. It wasn't a losing streak. He lost his house, lost his wife. People empathize with that because that's like a real life situation. So he kind of like tapped into that real life crisis that can happen for a person. Should have been a babyface for at least 6 months.
Sure.
Because I know eventually, you know, I don't know how babyface Corbin or sympathetic Corbin could work because he's 6'7". You know, you can't have a sympathetic 6'7" guy. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It's not really an underdog. But in that situation came back, was happy Corbin. We were kind of excited. Ooh, what version we get? You know, what, you know, he's going to get pushed. And he had, you know, Madcap Moss and the rest of history. But yeah, that was a little brief detour as we talk about the Battle Royal.
We talked about him about 10 times longer than he was in this match. I don't know what they're going to do with Baron Corbin next, but I'm not staying up late thinking about it either. We also had Dexter Lumis just stood unmoving in the corner, which, you know, it's Dexter Lumis. It's par for the course.
Shout out to Dan. That's his favorite wrestler, man.
Sure is. Shout out to Dan. There were other highlights in this match, I want to say. Highlights. Michael Cole being the biggest hater in the entire world actually made me laugh real hard when he was asked by Wade Barrett who was going to win this match, and he said Top Dollar because he couldn't go over the top rope.
Lol.
This man has a vendetta.
When you told Michael Cole you're not allowed to like that wrestler, he goes in ham. Ask Bryan Danielson when he went in and ordered the GOAT things and JR and Lawler, victims of...
Man's ruthless.
Yes.
Absolutely ruthless. But yes, people getting chucked out. Most of them, you know, fairly inconsequential. Angel and Umberto go. You know, Dolph Ziggler and Ali go. Etc.
Michael Cole didn't know who Ali was. He mistaken Ali for Santos Escobar. Even though Santos Escobar wears trunks, that should be a good indicator, Michael Cole. Yeah, they kind of got similar hair, similar kind of tan sometimes, but the outfit was not the same. Ali's dressed more like Dolph Ziggler circa 2018-19.
Yeah, you said in the office he looked more like Dolph Ziggler
than Dolph Ziggler does
with the tights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This match continued onward. There were a number of bits. Karrion Kross got eliminated. He kind of went and had a toe-to-toe with some of the other big guys in the match. That was fun. Johnny Gargano, looking good on SmackDown, had a nice like Tilt-A-Whirl DDT on Pete Dunne. That's a match I'd really like to see them have on SmackDown if they do a draft or dissolve the brand split or whatever. Johnny Gargano would be someone I would really like to see on SmackDown because Lord knows he ain't doing dick all on Raw.
Nope. F-all.
I mean, can I get Johnny Gargano against Walter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That sounds pretty good to
me. He needs to wrestle. He's Johnny Wrestling, not Johnny Sports Entertainment backstage segment.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And it ended up coming down to Bronson Reed and Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman. LA Knight was the most over person in the whole match.
Yeah.
LA liked LA Knight. Shocker. A lot of people like LA Knight now. They're doing the chants. You know, they're into the character, and they really wanted to see him win here, and then he got thrown out, like, third to last. So he didn't make it that close to the end, but he was in the mix, and they were not happy when he got thrown out. But eventually, Strowman got thrown next, and then Bronson Reed went for the tsunami, missed, Bobby Lashley threw him out, and he is the new Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner. And I did like the moment where Michael Cole said, I'm really picking on Michael Cole, but I guess that is my brand. He said, like, many a career has been launched from winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Sir.
Yeah.
That is a flagrant lie. I mean, how many careers were launched by this? Of the ones that have gone on to do something significant afterwards, it's like Braun Strowman.
Actually, there's a weird thing where the winners of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, the runner-ups, actually get launched.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Jinder was the runner-up in the Mojo Rawley year, and then he won the WWE title.
And then the runner-up who's wrestling in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
I suppose, was it Nick Balor and Madcap in the end? I could be wrong. I could have misremembering it. But yeah, it's not Madcap facing Edge in Hell in a Cell. It's Finn Balor, because last year Finn Balor, they did him a disservice and he wrestled in the Battle Royal. So it's more or less people that make it close, they get launched.
So you know what? Bronson Reed.
Yes.
He's got a push coming by that logic. So the real question now, because this Battle Royal is largely meaningless, but we are very much intrigued as to what Bobby Lashley could do come WrestleMania. Now, there's entirely a possibility that this was his WrestleMania moment, quote unquote. Wasn't at WrestleMania, but WrestleMania SmackDown moment. WrestleMania weekend moment. And he won't appear on either of the shows.
Boo.
Which, boo. Yeah, we don't want that. We want Bobby Lashley to have a good spot for himself. Yeah. And you astutely pointed out that there is one more match on WrestleMania Saturday compared to WrestleMania Sunday. Leaving the question, will he have some sort of open challenge type deal on WrestleMania Sunday? And if so, who should it be?
Who? So me and Tempest, we always like to put our brains together before we do podcasts sometimes and chat this out. So I said, these are the possible names. So we start with people that were in the Battle Royal. So I'm going to launch names and then give Tempest an opportunity to answer or comment a little bit, and we keep it moving. Karrion Kross.
Nah.
Okay, I'm done, I guess. Okay. A fake out by Baron Corbin.
I could see him coming out and then getting attacked by the real person.
As I said, a fake out. All right. You know? So that's a possibility. Johnny Gargano.
I don't see it personally.
Dexter Lumis.
I would really not like to see it personally.
Okay. Santos Escobar.
I don't think it fits.
Okay. I'm going to now say names that's more logical. Bronson Reed.
I could see it, but I do think it would be slightly underwhelming for the WrestleMania crowd just because he's not really done hardly anything on TV.
He's not really over. Okay. Yeah. Someone that's really over, LA Knight.
I think this is someone who would get a big pop. I don't see him beating Bobby Lashley in that sense.
No.
Which could make it so the crowd would be like, yay, aw. And I don't know if that's the reaction that you want, but I do think he's a strong contender.
You're right, because I really want it to be LA Knight. Because LA Knight, on the other side, he's been saying, you can't have WrestleMania LA without LA Knight. And Bobby Lashley's like, you can't have WrestleMania without the Almighty. So it's like the meeting of the two minds. And knowing how WWE are sensitive to babyface reactions, they don't want Lashley to get booed at Mania, because it would get that reaction. Because it would be like the Sheamus thing, where they put all their stock and their money into Sheamus, but Sheamus beat Daniel Bryan in, 18 seconds, whatever it was.
Yes,
and then it kind of backfired on them. Which might be good, because it'll launch LA Knight. I see Raw after WrestleMania being about LA Knight if they want to do a rebellion against the system. All right, if it's not him, surprise people. Jay White.
It would be a huge moment. I mean, you want to have a really big deal. I don't think it's going to be Jay White. I don't think he's going to debut at WrestleMania. But that's not based on anything. That's just me speculating. And if that, that would work.
Okay, let's do returns. Riddle.
That's interesting. I'd not considered that one. Yeah, could well be.
This is one it seems more likely. I haven't mentioned it to you yet. Randy Orton.
As soon as you said Riddle, I was like, I wonder if Orton's coming up next. I could see them coming out together. Like, have one of them wrestle the match and the other one be like, I'm back too. I don't know which one would work better in that case, whether you have Riddle wrestle or Orton wrestle, but probably Orton.
But how likely does it seem to you that's going to happen?
Not greatly, no. I don't think. I think we maybe would have heard something about it before then, but again, maybe not. Maybe they're good at keeping secrets this time.
Pulling a rabbit out of the hat. Big E!
I would love that. Again, I don't know how close he is to his recovery, you know. I know he was at Wale Mania.
Yeah.
That's something. At least mm-hmm. he's in town. Maybe mm-hmm. that means something. Maybe mm-hmm. not. I don't want to speak on his recovery because I'm not basing this off of anything. But if Big E came out at WrestleMania for a match, I would cry.
Me too. Especially if his song Feel the Power. One that you suggested. You tell people the one that you suggested.
So you brought up the name Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
And initially this kind of seemed like a left field, just kind of random choice. But then I thought a little bit more about it. And I was like, what if Nakamura is the opponent, comes out with the Great Muta, who's just gone into the Hall of Fame.
I love the idea.
And comes out, and the finish is Bobby Lashley getting misted and then hit with the Kinshasa. I think that could be like a cool little WrestleMania moment. I don't know how likely something like that is, but in a WWE world, I could see that working. I could see that being their way of like highlighting this legend who's just gone into the Hall of Fame and stuff like that.
I can also see it being a feud starter as well. I can see this being the catalyst for Lashley going hurt business, because kind of like he didn't have any help.
Yeah, didn't have any backup.
Yeah, he got screwed out, and then he's angry about it, and he puts, you know, Shinsuke in the hurt lock after the match or whatever. And the next night goes, I'm not done with you, you know, continue doing it, and then you're hurt business trying to terrorize Shinsuke and whatnot.
Yeah,
but that's an idea. There's also AJ Styles, who's a long way from coming back.
Yeah, he's not coming back yet.
Unless he's got the Cena strength. AJ Styles is back.
It's tough with bones. You know, bones don't heal the same as muscles.
No, they don't. No, they don't. But yeah, that's all the names I have. If you guys got names, please put it in the comment section below.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from you.
Who do you think Bobby Lashley could face at WrestleMania? Who?
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 Who do you think? Who would, like, if you had your choice of, like, realistic possible answers, who would you have Bobby Lashley face?
LA Knight.
Yeah. That's probably about right. You know, I can't see
if
that
even
being
that.
If
it was up to me for real, besides the LA Knight match, I would do a Bobby Lashley Hoss Invitational. Just I know we don't want to do like a lot of rest break matches or whatever, but heck, Karrion Kross, you're doing nothing. Bronson, you're not doing nothing. Hey, Strowman, have another go at it. I would, hey, Otis, you know, just do a Bobby Lashley Hoss fight Invitational.
It's a lot of horses.
Yeah, but LA Knight will be the one I'll go with because he deserves a crowd reaction, and obviously the match wouldn't go on for too long either. And at the moment, we've been trained to see LA Knight as a guy that gets punked, so it wouldn't be a disservice as much.
Yeah.
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 Let me talk to you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We've got the rest of SmackDown to discuss because this show opened with the Usos coming out to have the final words with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn before their pretty much confirmed WrestleMania main event. It certainly seems that way.
It's the main event of our hearts.
It's the main event of our hearts for sure. And like I think Jey Uso mentioned at Wale Mania, he was just like, "Yeah, main event, woo," something like that. Just like a little throwaway line. Mm. I don't know if it's been picked up by too many people, but it's something to pay attention to. And they had what I thought was like the best promo on the show for sure. Yeah. The Usos and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Because the Usos come out and they do their introduction, the Bloodline's in your city, and then they get interrupted by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they come out and Kevin Owens starts, and he says that, you know what, you two welcomed me into WWE, you guys were the ones that made me feel welcome here, you played with my kid, you made this feel like home, and I looked up to you because of it, and it made me feel conflicted because I gotta fight you. And then Royal Rumble happened, and you try to take my livelihood from me, and I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for this man, points to Sami Zayn. And now, I do feel conflicted, but I know how much I'm gonna love beating the hell out of you and taking your tag team titles at WrestleMania. Yeah. And Jimmy Uso then comes in and says that this is what blood is. This is what family looks like. This is what loyalty looks like. This is what blood is. Mm. And this is what you and Sammy will never have. And Sammy cuts in there to say that blood isn't what makes you family. You know, you've got loyalty. And Jay cuts him off and says, what do you know about loyalty? Mm-hmm. You know, this right here, this is loyalty. And Sammy cuts him off again and says, no. I was loyal to you the entire time. I was loyal to you from day one. I was loyal to you from day one. I was loyal to the whole bloodline. And you guys don't know anything about loyalty because you chose blood over loyalty because you sided with Roman Reigns, who's never loyal to you. And this is where you see Jey Uso get like real conflicted. He looks down. He's got this inner turmoil because you know there's something brewing between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. We don't know exactly how it's going to play out yet, but there's something brewing there. And that inner turmoil is cooking. And he kind of turns around, walks around. And he says, nah, that ain't it. At WrestleMania, and Sami Zayn had also said that all the pressure of the bloodline is on you guys to be tag team champions. And we're going to take that pressure, take your tag team champions from you at WrestleMania. And Jey Uso says, nah, that ain't it. At WrestleMania, the same old thing's going to happen. Kevin's going to turn on Sammy, and we're going to walk out still as the WWE Tag Team Champions. And they walk off. I thought this was a very good promo. I thought it was heated. It was emotional. This was the type of energy that I wish that they had kept up, like, the last couple of weeks. Because you can get some comments telling you one way or the other, and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I've talked to a lot of people the last, like, couple weeks, whether it be talked to Alex Queen of the Ring on her show, I talked to Steven Larson, the Fightful guys, about this. Everybody kind of agrees that, you know, the tag team title match has kind of gone off the boil the last couple weeks, as opposed to where it was when they did that incredible angle with Jey Uso turning on Sami Zayn and everybody in the crowd was doing this and then Kevin joined him. That was all great. And then they kind of took a couple weeks off of having that really emotional storytelling. But now they've gotten back to it. And I would feel like this is the perfect time to get back to it because, again, everybody wants this to be the main event of WrestleMania. And it looks like at this point, it is firmly in the position to be the most deserving match.
Well, because the other match that's meant to be main event didn't even get a look in.
Nope.
They started off the show, which is to indicate to us this is what we're kicking
this
off.
This is
with
important.
Yeah. They started off with, because think about this. It was, because we got two nights of WrestleMania, and we had one angle start off and a different one end it.
Yep.
Night two's main event ended it. You can argue night one's main event started it.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. But to go back to what you're saying, this is also kind of hard. So you could argue that as soon as Jey Uso turned on Sami Zayn, that you were in a situation where talking wasn't it anymore. You had to fight, right? I think the last 2 weeks, their focus has been more on sneak attacks and solo, you know, destroying both members of the challenging team. So that's why it hasn't felt as heated. Even last week, you said it, you know, it was more about Sammy and KO reuniting and being happy. So that was more of a joke. Yeah, the t-shirt thing. So in your mind, you said it like, I like the t-shirt thing, but it like something was missing. And we saw what was missing, which was the fire. Mm-hmm. So you could argue that because it's been on a boil for a while, it deserved to actually take a break for a couple of weeks because it's hard to sustain it. Because look at Dominic and Mysterio. That's Dominic Mysterio. Look at Dominic and Rey. Look at their situation where they kind of delayed the inevitable attack until last week. And now they didn't really touch hands this week. We had more of a nice moment. We had another t-shirt moment.
We had another t-shirt moment.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. So you could argue that story goes ebbs and flows. You can't maintain that level. The only one I seem to maintain is being Cody and Roman because they haven't touched. I think had they touched already, it would have looked like a step back because it's gone back to talking again between the two tag team. It was quite civil between KO, Sammy, and the Usos. Civil as it can be because they didn't touch hands because they've done it already. We had chair shots. We've had Samoan spikes. We've had, you know, handcuffs. They've done everything to each other they can do. So they've reached that middle, that point where it's like the talking is done. And the mind games are over. We're going to be real. We're going to beat the heck out of each other. But I also want to shout out to a Twitter user that mentioned that Sami Zayn and KO, if you put a name together, they're the Wild Samoans. Wild Samoans.
Oh, I got it now.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, go back to what I was saying. I like that KO used real life situation to add fire to the feud because we haven't seen that for weeks. We've just been seeing KO's perspective is, I don't like Jay. I don't like Jimmy. They hit me with a chair, so I don't care. But for him to say that, like, you know what? You guys were cool once upon a time. It kind of drives home in the head of everyone else that people want the Usos to get out of the spell they're under, of the emotional blackmail they're under with Roman Reigns. So there was layers to it. It's kind of like what they did. It was a foreshadowing of what both teams' future is like post-WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So for Sami and KO is, can they coexist?
Christ.
It is, right?
Yeah. I mean, it always is with them.
Yeah.
You always think that a backstabbing is just around the corner one way or the other.
Which is great, because it would be stupid to be like, me get backstabbed? That's my best friend, blah, blah. That's part of the relationship. With the Usos, more like, who are they outside of being tag team champions? And can they sustain another browbeating from Roman Reigns? Because obviously they're reaching their breaking point. Everyone has their breaking point. The question is, will the Usos' breaking point be after WrestleMania?
See, it'll be interesting because I was taking the train into work on Thursday and I was sat next to the lovely Lori Blake and we were discussing just like what happens after WrestleMania. How do things go for all the different characters, particularly in the Bloodline? And we were discussing the possibilities. And one thing that we had kind of come up with that I think is very interesting is because Roman Reigns is reportedly taking time off after WrestleMania. He'll be gone for a couple months or so. Mm. What happens if he leaves and the Usos and Solo and everything all just start feeling great, you know? And then Roman comes back and they're forced to fall back into line. But then they're like, you know, things were better when you weren't around. You know, you've lost your titles, presumably. But you lose your titles and you take some time off. Mm. And we're kind of free from this. Just like the mob boss isn't breathing over your shoulder all the time. It'll be very interesting to see what the reaction is from the Usos to a different dynamic in the Bloodline.
Yeah.
Whether Roman Reigns loses the title and just leaves, or if he loses the title and gets like manic, you know, because now there's nothing signifying that he's the head of the table. There's a lot of different possibilities here for how they can take the Bloodline story further, presumably to SummerSlam, where I am guessing that Roman's going to face Jay. It's interesting because they can go a bunch of different directions with the reactions to whatever happens with Roman. True. And how the Usos and Solo handle that. They can handle it poorly. And then when Roman comes back in, he offers them like stability. Potentially, if you want to go with the completely opposite direction that I was just talking about.
But it's been chaotic without him, and now he wants to get the band back together.
Because then it feels like Roman is offering them something. You know, he's abusive, he's manipulative, but he does offer that stability. But again, on the opposite side, you could see him be like the reason for their paranoia, for their anxiety and everything. And when he comes back in, all those things return. I'm really interested to see what happens with this after WrestleMania, which I think is the great strength of the Bloodline story, because I'm never just excited to see the big angle, the big match. I'm excited to see what happens afterwards, the fallout of it.
The question is, do you think that Paul Heyman will still be around? Or will he take time off as well?
I think he should be around with the Usos and Solo Sikoa to just kind of be like that voice. Whether it's the voice of Roman Reigns or just, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's like kind of ominous, like, oh... Roman said this and that, or Roman's here next week, and I can hear people popping after how many months of him being gone. But you know, a part of me is thinking the whole Roman Reigns tribal chief saga that we've been on, it was all designed to get Roman Reigns the desired reaction they've wanted for years. So I feel like the opportunity is there. As much as you wanted Jay to be the protagonist, the ultimate protagonist in the story, what if it ends up being that Jay gets corrupted, he now takes the leadership of the group, and then when Roman comes over, you think you're the tribal chief now? He goes, nah, dog, I've been doing this by myself, you know, I've been doing this and this and this and that, I'm the one in charge now, and they all attack Roman Reigns. That's an easy way to gain sympathy and turn him to a face again, because it's either that or Roman Reigns trying to abuse his cousins, and they because it's quite hard. Do you all turn babyface by beating him up?
I don't know.
I mean, so you can see they see something in Solo. What if he's like Frankenstein's monster? What if the monster you've built is the one that turns against you? Because I can ultimately see Solo staying as a heel, but also going on a rampage, and Roman has to be the one to take him down. There's so many layers. There's so many what ifs, and I don't know. I don't know. This t-shirt's too tight, Billy. I don't know. So we just have to wait and see, which is exciting because that means there's more to look forward to.
I'm very excited for all of this. But we move on because we also then had a fatal four-way match with one member of each of the showcase tag teams, and it was Ricochet versus Montez Ford versus Chad Gable versus Eric.
Eric.
That's his full name, his full legal government
name. It's Eric with a K, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, this match was really fun, I thought. It wasn't given oodles of time to go out there and like absolutely steal the show, but I still thought it was the best match on the show. And they had a lot of really fun spots where one of the guys, they both would pair off throughout this match, basically. Ricochet and Montez Ford would each pair off with the heels. And there was a nice moment on the outside where Chad Gable and Eric both hit suplexes at the same time and then kind of stared at each other. And they're like, okay, wait until Mania. And then we'll see what happens here. But it was kind of like a one-upsmanship game between the heels as to who could throw around the other more. And there were some really good moments. Like Chad Gable had a really nice rolling German suplex. And then they were both on the top rope getting ready to hit like stereo superplexes. And I think it was Ricochet managed to get out of it before eventually being thrown by Chad Gable. And meanwhile, during all that happening, Eric was able to hit Montez Ford with a superplex. It was just like very good kinetic action, very dynamic, not a lot of waste of time. And I like that. I like that in matches with multiple people. I don't like a lot of downtime, especially when you have the workhorses of each of the teams.
Yeah.
Like, it was really fun, quick, fast-paced match. And eventually it led to Montez Ford hitting his frog splash. And then, as he sold the impact of that move, Ricochet hit the shooting star press and got the win. Pretty much what I expected, because Ricochet is the most single star of the bunch here. And I don't know if that's going to play into the momentum heading into WrestleMania, but I thought this was a fun match.
You just used logical booking as a reason for why Ricochet won, and that actually makes sense because I didn't really think of it. I mean, you'd argue the second person to have singles experience is Chad Gable. Yep. In there. But yeah, Ricochet won. He's the right person to win in a match. When we're in the office, I mentioned about how this match could be a sleeper at WrestleMania, the showcase.
Absolutely.
The only issue we've ever had with the showcase is how blatantly underdeveloped it was. It came out of the blue, and they didn't even mention what happens when either the team wins. I mean, I know we're sick and tired of trophies and tournaments, right? I know we're sick of it. But for me, I would have liked a tag team showcase trophy where the winners will now get a number one contendership. At least that way, it's more than a showcase. They're fighting towards something. You know, it's a participation trophy. Just give them something so it feels more great. But yeah, if this match is an indication of WrestleMania, I'm all for it. And I didn't even notice that it was the workhorse of each team, and each team got horses. Because even like Angelo Dawkins is like 6'5". Yeah. He's like Titus O'Neil. It's like, where did that height come from? You've always been that tall. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't book them as big guys, and you're like, you're that tall. Kind of like the Edge for all those years and Billy Gunn for all those years. They're really tall guys, but they don't get booked like big guys. So I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania Showcase, and I really hope that each of the team that have been stuck in limbo because, you know, Uso's been running rampant on the tag team division will get a chance to show the crowd why you should invest in the tag division post-Uso losing and when Sami Zayn's or the Wild Samoans become tag team champions.
Well, that's the thing, right? I really do think that this showcase match at WrestleMania is effectively a number one contenders match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not pushing it as that.
They should, yeah.
And really, I don't think it matters that much. I would like some stakes added to it just so they have, like, a reason to be wrestling. But I do think, effectively, it is going to end up being just, this is the number one contenders match. I think that's what this is going to be.
Do you also think the Alpha Academy is going to break up at Mania?
I don't know. I think it could be, like, a Raw after Mania
really?
Type thing, maybe.
I want to argue that WrestleMania has got a tradition of tag teams breaking up. Strikeforce broke up at WrestleMania. I had another tag team in mind that broke up. I was doing so well. I had it in my head.
Great
I had another
tradition of a thing that happened like 30 years ago.
No, that was you're laughing. That was one. There was more in my head, but it just fell out of my head. When I think of it, I'm gonna randomly say it out. But I'm just saying, American Alpha, Colossal Connection broke up. Andre the Giant, Haku broke up at WrestleMania. So they do have history of storylines coinciding at Mania. So I'm just saying, maybe just maybe Maxxine Dupri will get her Otis, and then Chad Gable can start the long rumored singles run that everyone, including his peers and his mates, want for him because he's too darn talented to be eating pins and not going out there showcasing that he's a great wrestler and winning matches and building on his resume as a fantastic performer.
Amen. I hope it's Chad Gable's time after WrestleMania. I really do.
Thank you. And he had great footwork as well. There was like a little mini dance-off between Montez and Ricochet. And Chad Gable came in there and stole the show. He had his little crab dance and he did a little footwork. And then he got knocked out of the ring.
I loved it. Love Chad Gable. I completely agree. I hope. And it could happen at WrestleMania. It wouldn't surprise me by any means. But we'll see. I would very much like after WrestleMania for that to be his time. Throughout all of this, there were like video packages for the main WrestleMania matches. Charlotte and Rhea had a video package, and that was the main event. Yeah, that was the only thing that was on this show relating to the women's title match. And there was only video packages on Raw regarding that women's championship match. So you kind of get a sense that they didn't put that much effort into the builds for these matches, unfortunately.
That sucks. It's not a women's fault, because that's the thing as well. It's not a women's fault. It's the material given to them. If they were given great material, thought-out material, then we would have had, you know, great build and we'd be excited about it. So I don't blame the women 110%. It's the material given to them. They've been trying to sell it, but we're just not sold.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
So after the Battle Royal, of which we have already spoken about, we had the second of two Fatal 4-Way matches again, this time with the women from the showcase match, that being Shayna Baszler, Natalya, Raquel Rodriguez, and Sonya Deville. This one was not terribly heated. Doesn't really surprise me because, again, no one's really been heated for this 4-Way tag at WrestleMania anyway. Again, not their fault, but I mean, look at the teams in this match. It's not a lot of people that folks seem to care about that much. Even the teams that are more cared about than others, like Raquel and Liv and Shayna and Ronda, like, you know, even still, they're far from the top of their respective divisions. You know?
I would argue that the reaction of SmackDown will not be the same at Mania. I feel like someone like Chelsea will be over at WrestleMania.
Could be.
And Liv is Liv. So Liv's always over. Raquel is always on the cusp. I mean, we know like management's high on her, and we know that we haven't seen the best of her potential as a character because we're just missing a monster horse in the women's division. And she's just right there. She's right there. We're tired of her smiling and kissing babies and hugging fat blokes. It's time for her to start beating up women and taking back her opportunities to become champion, because I realized she never won a women's title. But she was NXT champion. So it's time for her to start winning championships on the division. Come on, Raquel. Again, another breakup at WrestleMania of this non-existent team that she would have never been. Liv Morgan and Raquel. Raquel's like, I had enough, and beats her up, and she becomes a Monster Heel.
This one I actually totally see happening. And I don't. This is kind of the reason why I don't know if both of them will break up at WrestleMania. Because of the two, I think this one's more likely. Mm. I think Raquel and Liv breaking up at WrestleMania is more likely than Alpha Academy. But again, never know. Could happen to both of them.
Do we know if it's an elimination thing to showcase?
I think it's just a one fall to a finish.
Oh, okay. They just want to get out of there.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, I would have argued that I could see Chelsea tapping out quickly. And now comes to see Liv tapping out as well or whatever. Because I want to, like, there's a reason that Raquel should get mad. It's Raquel's time to be a Monster Heel.
Right. Yeah, I agree. As far as this match goes, however...
And also, wait. SummerSlam, Rhea versus Raquel. Ooh, oh my. Oh my! Think about it.
Yeah. I'm not too hot on it, but it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I know, it's yours. It's your idea. You're allowed to have it. This match was pretty short, though. There wasn't a whole lot to it. There were some cool moments, like Raquel lifting both Shayna and Natty onto her shoulders at the same time, because Shayna had Natty in the corner and had her in the chokehold with her feet dangling. It's a cool spot, and that's when Raquel put them both on her shoulders, walked to the middle of the ring. Sonya hit a chop block, took her knees out. Cool. And then Sonya came off the ropes, and Raquel hit her finish. What's it called?
The Tiana Bomb.
I'll never remember it. And got the win.
You will remember it. The day you do, I'll rejoice. I'll be like, hooray, hooray. He caught it.
But yeah, that was pretty much all there was to this one. Not a lot of action. It was short. Again, it was kind of heatless. It's what it is. And then backstage, we had our next t-shirt moment. Because Rey Mysterio was backstage and looking sharp as hell.
Whew,
that man mask. Has got a slick mask. I wish I had a mask like that.
And yeah, please donate funds to get Tempest a black mask. We are a house of the black mask, and we are working on this man getting a black mask.
Listen, if anybody knows a mask maker,
yes,
particularly in the UK, but really London. Anywhere at this point, like, they're hard to come by.
They are. We need. If you guys have been thinking he needs a new mask, he thinks he needs a new mask.
I would love to have like five more masks.
Yes, he lacks rotation. Yeah. Rotation's a thing. Also, his precious nose. We don't want a mask that's squeezing his nose. We need comfort for breathing. So we want nice mask. One that is black and gold. I like that. Yeah. Some gold.
This one actually, like, it fits very comfortably. Mm. I never have a problem wearing this mask. The old one, the blue and green and yellow one, that one destroyed my nose. But people know that. Quizzlemania viewers know that. That being said, someone else who wears a mask, this Rey Mysterio fella, looking sharp as hell, getting ready for his Hall of Fame induction. Woo. A Hall of Fame induction that you've watched and was very good. Conan, he's the man. Good promo. He's backstage and he's approached by Legado del Fantasma. And Legado del Fantasma tell him that they have his back just like they did on Raw. And Rey Mysterio thanks them and says, if we're going to do this, we got to do it in style. Hands out t-shirts to all four of them. And they all look at them and go, oh, wow. Turn it around. And they're the LWO.
La Raza.
The Latino World Order.
This is great. Guys, growing up, when I was a young kid, during the Monday Night War, I was 8 years old when LWO was a thing. So Rey Mysterio, who was a charter member of the group, an unwilling member of the group in the beginning, and ultimately became the most loyal member when Eddie Guerrero had that horrible car accident and he had to take time off. Rey Mysterio was the only one that kept his t-shirt. What happened was the original NWO wanted to destroy any imitation groups. So the Wolfpack and the Black and White, they merged the NWO Elite. They're like, any fake groups out there, you better stop it or we're going to beat you up. So the rest of the LWO members, they all left, but Rey Mysterio, being loyal to the soil, being loyal to his mate, he kept his top on as they beat him up, as Kevin Nash tried to rip off his t-shirt. That's the kind of guy Rey Mysterio is. He bleeds that LWO colors. And you see the Legado del Fantasma, they are inspired by LWO, especially the motif and the logo. But part of me wish that we don't lose their theme song, because you know Death Rebel likes changing theme songs on a whim. I'm looking at you, Omos. Your song sucks.
His original one's great, and they're going to come out to some giant Gonzalez theme. Any giant can have that theme. But back to the matter at hand. LWO is back, but the question is it a one-night thing for Mania to back him, or is this a six-month program where Santos could potentially turn on Rey, and then probably, you know, Dominic trying to reconcile with dad down the line? Who knows?
We'll see. Sounds good to me, though.
Do you think it's like a one-time thing, or is this like going forward, Ray's part of a group? It feels weird.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were like a group after this.
I'm happy. It sounds like a storyline that was formed out of a video game. It doesn't feel real. I'm like, Ray? Because WCW Ray, he's part of multiple groups. You know, he was part of LWO. He was part of the No Limit Soldiers, Filthy Animals. So Ray and Mysterio in WCW, that's his history. In WWE, he done mostly tag teams, but he never done groups.
Yeah.
And also, I'm like, a babyface group. Because they all wear sharp outfits. So I can see them masked to the gills, suited and booted. LWO. Dun 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 da dun dun da da dun 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 da dun dun da. Yeah. La Raza.
I'm looking forward to it. I thought this was really cool. And then we got our tag team match to set up the Intercontinental Championship triple threat at WrestleMania, that being Sheamus and Drew, or Shrew, as you like to say.
Thank you.
Taking on Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci of Imperium. And this, again, not the longest match, but still pretty good. The story of this match was that Drew and Sheamus absolutely were not on the same page. They were constantly blind tagging each other getting into the match, and that kind of led to a shoving match halfway through, but ultimately they were able to overcome Imperium. They did get a chance to like hit their high-low. There was some good stuff here. Imperium got a few chances, but ultimately Sheamus hit a knee strike on Giovanni Vinci and then hit the brogue kick as Drew McIntyre hit a claymore on Ludwig Kaiser, and Sheamus got the pin, and they kind of had a stare down at the end of the match. Drew had blown past him during the entrances, and that was about it. Walter was looking on from backstage. It was pretty solid. Ultimately, last week's segment was much better in setting this up, but that's fine. You know, I thought this was still fairly effective.
In Wrestling Booking 101, I understand why they went with the result they went with. But come on, the Bangers and Mash Bros, they're not really getting along. Imperium are more, they're an experienced tag team. They're former two-time or whatever it is NXT tag team champions. They should not be losing to a tag team that have been barely together. They're not even getting along together. That would have added more fuel to the fire if they had lost. But yeah, I get why they do it. It's booking 101. If you're part of a group, you guys are eating pins. They both ate pins and whatever.
Yeah, and you probably don't want one of these guys to get pinned before this match at WrestleMania. So, like, again, I see why they did
it. Yeah, booking 101,
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Someone had to get pinned. It is what it is. But still, a fairly good little match. And then we got our main event segment, that being Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns face-to-face. Now, that part of the segment was very short. The main meat of this segment was Cody Rhodes' promo, where he says that he's gone in and gone to the gym and gotten his nutrition down, and he's done all the preparation that he can do for this WrestleMania match. He's ready. He thanked the WWE Universe for welcoming him back, thanked them for letting him bring his fans along with them. It's interesting, because if you listen to all these people, it doesn't seem like he had many fans from the AEW days left, but I was one of them. I have always liked Cody Rhodes. I'm a Cody Rhodes AEW apologist all the way through.
I was a fan, but at one point I was like, has he lost the plot, or is this playing 4D chess because he's really a heel?
And if you ask him now, he says he's a heel.
But people saying that. I love people put that image of Bryan Danielson. Cody Rhodes told me how to lie, and he's got that face. So is he lying, or is he telling the truth? Nah, when he fake going into the tunnel, he was a heel. Like, that was where it was leading. We'll never know how it was meant to end. One day, someone has to ask me that question, how was it meant to end?
Maybe we'll still find out one day. You never know. Ooh. This wrestling war is far from over. There's still plenty of time left in all this. But yeah, he says he does a whole verse of
Tupac. California. He quoted Tupac. Yeah, he quoted California. Tupac. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Cool. Good for you, Cody.
Cody being Cody. Cody is one of the most unintentionally funny guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't try. He just got it in spades.
Oh, I love this man. I can't wait for him to be WWE champion. It's going to be so rad. With a new belt. Oh, my God.
Was it April the 3rd? We're going to wake up and it's going to be a new day. Yes, it is. A new champion. So if you've been in the coma and you wake up,
in a couple of days. You picked the right time to wake up from a coma.
Cody Rhodes is WWE champion?
Yeah.
I thought he was in AEW.
Exactly. So all this explanation, what's been happening, and then Sammy's gone over this and that. Yeah.
The one really solid line from this was that Roman Reigns had previously said that Cody couldn't even be the top guy in his own company. And Cody retorted that here, saying that Roman Reigns was an 11-year investment that didn't pay off until year 8.
Ooh-hoo! Which,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not wrong by any means.
But I've seen on social media people saying, Cody, you've been doing it for 15 years. Again, you're a wrestling fan. You claim to be a wrestling fan. That means you claim to listen to promos. He said Roman Reigns was an 11-year investment. Vince had tunnel vision to make him champion. That's what an investment is. There's times when a guy comes on, like a John Cena. Yeah, let's see what he can do. We see down the line. Cody Rhodes was similar. Like he could potentially be. With Roman Reigns, Vince said, nope, he's got the look. He's got the body. He's got the heritage. He's got the pedigree. He's the guy. Cody Rhodes did not become an investment until he came back. We're now in year 2 of that investment. The American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, an investment. Not rookie Cody Rhodes. Not legacy Cody Rhodes. Not dashing Cody Rhodes. Not undashing Cody Rhodes. Not mustache Cody. Not Cody, he nearly got fired and then they brought him back Cody. Not Cody who is Stardust. All of those iterations of Cody Rhodes were told to like, hey, swim. If you sink, you sink. He'd been trying to swim, but they're still trying to yank him down the ocean. This Cody Rhodes is an investment. They paid money for him to go from the competition, which is AEW, which he helped start, to come back to WWE. Because that investment is, if they show the competition that, hey, come over here, we'll push you to the moon, that's what Cody Rhodes represents. He's an investment. He's on year 2. So technically, he's not on the same level of commitment that they had with Roman Reigns. So please, there's a difference. He has got a 15-year career, but they didn't invest in him like in the way they invested in Roman Reigns. Heck, when he was in Legacy, Ted DiBiase was seen as the future in that group. Cody did more to usurp. He didn't get a Marine film. Ted DiBiase did. Bloody heck.
You're 100% right. I back you on every single one of those points. And yeah, and then Roman Reigns made his very long entrance, came out and said, Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, acknowledge me. And that was the whole segment.
That's the piss take. His entrance was longer than the actual promo he cut. So that was him dissing him.
So, I mean, like, Roman Reigns didn't really do anything on this final show. And, like, you know, it is what it is. I think Cody did the heavy lifting here. And it was a little bit underwhelming as far as, like, this is the go-home angle for WrestleMania. They probably could have done a little bit more to really hit home.
Did you?
But ultimately, I think it's fine.
For the first time in the history of a WrestleMania main event, two guys did not touch in that ring. That was them. First time.
I suppose that is true, yeah.
Austin and Rock had miscues.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, Cena and Rock the first time, but The Rock had, like, hit him with a rock bottom at Survivor Series and at WrestleMania the previous year.
Yeah,
but, it, like, from the Elimination Chamber till WrestleMania, they never touched. That's the only other thing I could really think of.
Yeah, so, but this, like, since he's been back,
yeah,
he doesn't know what Roman's hair smells like.
Yeah.
He hasn't beat him up and then get a whiff of the shampoo. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened. And he hasn't smelled the peroxide from Cody's head. Roman hasn't smelled it. So that hasn't happened. It's going to be at WrestleMania.
Fresh peroxide in the hair. And then just like stick his head in it until he passes out.
Roman hasn't punched Cody since he's got the tattoo on the neck. And he hasn't hit a crossroads on Roman since he got a tattoo on the neck. Mm-hmm. So that's how long it's been since they've touched.
That's crazy. What did you think of this show overall as a go-home show for WrestleMania?
You know what? As a go-home show, the main storylines did what it needed to do. I know what you said, the Roman didn't do much, which left it underwhelming, but I think it was on purpose. It's more of the storytelling they're trying to do. Roman Reigns is trying to feign confidence. I think Roman Reigns is bloody scared. Mm. His group at the moment is in shambles. They're getting attacked from all areas. Or Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes. Three problems at the same time. They've never had this sort of heat before. Yeah, they'd done war games last year, but that wasn't this level because they were more united. The group is fractured. The structure is coming apart. And I think Roman Reigns, he didn't want to say much because in his mind, he needs to psych himself up for the biggest match that he's had in his 3-year title reign. So it's the fear of the unknown. Like I said, they haven't touched in a while. All the other wrestlers, Roman said he's beaten them, so he knows what to do with them. With Cody Rhodes, he's a whole different beast. So I think that was meant to convey false sense of bravado. That's what it was.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our review of WrestleMania SmackDown. Make sure, of course, that you keep it locked right here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel for Luke Owens' live reactions of WrestleMania Night 1 tonight. He will be joined by at least Dan Layton and possibly Pete Quinnell if Pete Quinnell is feeling better. Get well soon, Pete. And by soon, I mean today, as soon as you possibly can. Otherwise, you can go over to Parts Funknown right now and check out Adam Blompier's latest fantasy booking video, How Adam Would Book Big E as WWE Champion. You can get early access to next month's fantasy booking at patreon.com/WrestleTalk, where you can check out his booking of Brock Lesnar's retirement. And because this will be out by the time this goes up, you can see the latest edition of Survival Series on Parts Funknown as well. April Fool's is today. So we're going to have everybody name every single 24/7 champion.
No!
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yes, it is.
What the heck is that? No, you're a cruel man.
They were asking for it. The fans were asking for it. Every 24/7 champion, the latest edition of Survival Series available
in
now.
In reverse chronological order. Are you effing kidding me?
You have to watch the episode to find out, Sat. It's okay. It's okay. You weren't in it. Don't worry.
I know I wasn't. I'm feeling the stress of everyone on myself. the Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke, Run Truth, Truth, see, I lost already.
Oh, three strikes, three strikes and you're out. That being said, thank you so much for watching. We will be back later on tonight with our live reactions of WrestleMania 38, or 39, Night 1. Forgot what year it was. And until then, stay tuned.
See Sat. You, same Sat E time, same Sat E day. Enjoy WrestleMania Saturday, House of the Black.
It's WrestleMania, baby! Woo!
Masker!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.